My subject principally will be understanding. If we wish to understand the Bible, which of course we do, or we wouldn't be here. We are not only interested, but we are very, very interested. Under these circumstances, we must accept the Bible at its own valuation as the Word of God from cover to cover. We will not need anyone to prove it to us after a careful study. If it is true message, if it is a true message from God to man, it must be harmonious. This we find to be so. One part does not conflict with another. Christ endorses Moses and the prophets and quotes from them. We must accept the whole book and not that part which meets our fancy. We must keep in memory that the Bible is a translation of books written ages ago. And to understand its message, we must take into consideration to whom it was written and the time and the place. We Gentiles cannot take to ourselves the laws of the Jews. We should try to acquaint ourselves with the manners and customs and modes of speech of these people of long ago to fully understand. Jesus said, salvation is of the Jews. It is true now as it was then. If we make Paul contradict Peter, or Christ contradict the prophets, we know that our reasoning is wrong. We are wrong, not the book. We cannot understand all at once. If we find a knot too hard to unravel, leave it and go on. We will find the answer later. We must remember to lay our foundation on facts. Leave the parables, symbols, and features of speech for the ornaments of the building. This is important because the Bible abounds in poetic sayings that were clear enough to the people of long ago, but are hard for us at this late date. While all that was necessary for the Jews of Jesus' time to know was to believe and know Christ to be the Christ, we should, in addition, learn the laws and the prophets. The Jews were required to be trained in them. Do not read your ideas into the book, but take it as a sensible message. God gave us brains and expects us to use them. He does not expect us to believe anything that does violence to our reasoning. Do not forget, he describes himself as a God of mercy and truth. Hunt for the good under all seeming evil. That's what we should do in each other. If you wish a shortcut to the truth, begin on this basis and see how beautifully harmonious the Bible becomes. Man is mortal. Immortality is conditional on man's conduct. There is no life beyond the grave except for those members, servants of Christ, good and bad, who will be rewarded or punished. The hell of the Bible is the grave. The wages of sin is death. The devil and Satan personify the animal traits of mankind that man must overcome. God is one and not a trinity. That there is no salvation apart from fellowship with Christ. That this earth, not heaven, is to be the future dwelling place of the righteous. If we wish to live an animal's life, that is to eat, drink, and be merry only, we will die an animal's death, go back to the dust from whence we were taken. It is a question of life or death. God is not a God of the dead, but of the living. The dead know not anything, and all their memory has perished with them. God has given us a great hope, a hope of everlasting life on this earth, where there will be no more sickness, pain, or death, when paradise will be restored, where there will be peace and goodwill toward all men. And the earth will be filled with the glory of God. God promised to Abraham and his seed all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession if they were obedient to his commandments. But the nation of Israel failed through disobedience. According to prophecy, they were dispersed into all nations, but with a promise that they would not be entirely destroyed, but would at a time be gathered back into the land. This would be a sign of the time of the end, of the end of Gentile times, and nearing the time of Christ's return to set up his kingdom. Thus we see the Jewish nation gathering back into the land. We are, without question, approaching that time. All are invited to fellowship with Christ by obedience to his commandments. We only have to make the effort to strive for it and come up to God's standards or the standards God has set for us. A study of the Sermon on the Mount will make it clear to us what we should do to build a character acceptable in the kingdom of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.